I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Then, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. I've titled this morning's message as the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers. Last week or last time when I preached, we looked at the same chapter, verses 4 through 11. We looked at the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world through us, but it was primarily to the world. And this text here talks about the Holy Spirit's ministry to the individual Christian. Just to kind of remind us where we are in the flow of the Gospel of John. We are in what is called as the Upper Room Discourse, which starts from chapter 13 and kind of goes all the way to chapter 17, but also chapter 18 talks about the events of the Thursday night, which kind of goes into Friday morning as well. And then from 19, 20, and 21, we have events covering from Friday through Sunday. So in John's Gospel, really from chapter 13 through chapter 21, nearly 40 or so percentage, John dedicates just to the last 4 days of Jesus' earthly life. So a lot of time is spent on that. And within that, in chapters 13 through 17, there's this extended teaching that Jesus gives primarily to his disciples. Judas is kicked out by the end of chapter 13. We've seen that already after the foot washing. With clean feet, he goes to betray the one who's really clean and cleansed him, at least cleansed his feet, so to speak. And from then on, Jesus has his intimate discussion with his disciples. And in that, he talks primarily about the persecution that the believers will face and the importance for the believers to stay close to him in order to bear fruit. That's that whole abide in me text of John 15. And then he also gives the way we can stay strong, persevere, and to live the Christian life is because of the Holy Spirit. He gives extended teaching about the Holy Spirit. And this morning we conclude his teaching about the Holy Spirit with these verses that we have in front of us. Keep in mind again as we work our way through this passage today, it's set right in the context of Jesus warning the believers of persecution. He's already talked in chapter 15, you will be hated, you will be persecuted. Why? Because that's what they did to me. And then again, from verses 16 through 33 of the next portion, he's again going to talk about how our grief will turn to joy. And he'll end with verse 33 by saying that very famous truth, in this world you will have trouble. So couched between those teachings of persecution is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will help the believer to live the Christian life. This passage teaches us a very simple and a straightforward truth. It's that the Holy Spirit guides believers in truth so that Jesus would be glorified. I hope you can see that from the text there, mainly from verses 13 and 14. The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And then verse 14, he will glorify me. He will guide you into all the truth in order for you to glorify me. That's kind of the idea. So let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us as we unpack these verses. Father, we pray that through your Spirit you will help us to see the truths behind this passage so that we can see more and more about Christ. Because scriptures are given so that we can see more and more about Christ and thus yield to those truths that we learn and ultimately glorify him. So Holy Spirit, we are utterly dependent upon you once again as we open the text, for you to open the eyes of our heart to know the riches that you have in store for us through these verses. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Notice first of all what Jesus is saying here. After talking about that The Holy Spirit will use you, your testimony, to prove the world or convict the world in three things: that they're guilty of sin because of their unbelief in Christ, and they're guilty of righteousness because in their own righteousness, their own system of justice, they nailed Jesus to the cross, thinking that He is not right with God, but God, by raising Him from the dead, shows that their system of justice is wrong. They cannot on their own get right with God. Only Jesus, who is right with God by the proof of His resurrection, can help people to be right with God. And thirdly, by defeating Satan on the cross, Jesus' work shows that those who follow Satan to the end will also face the same judgment he faced. Now Jesus turns His attention to the believers. To the believers. Primarily, keep in mind, primarily given to the apostles. And secondarily, by application, certain truths apply to us. So we need to be careful how we distinguish what applies to the apostles alone and what applies to all of us. And I'll explain that as we move along. Notice first of all what Jesus tells the apostles: I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. More than now you can bear. Now, when Jesus says this, He is not referring to the fact that because you're filled with so much grief, you cannot comprehend the truth. That is not what Jesus is saying. Many people take that along that path. That is not what Jesus is saying. What He is saying is connected very much to verse 13, because there's a contrast there. Notice, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. In other words, what is deficient for you is the Holy Spirit's work in your heart to understand the significance of my death, burial, resurrection. It's not that the grief that's preventing you from understanding, it's what you lack inside of you. What you lack inside of you is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why you cannot bear. These are heavy truths which you cannot bear. Now, this is not something that really applies to us today, because we receive the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. The apostles had to wait till the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will come in His fullness to help them understand the significance of Jesus' work. Now in this case, this He will guide you into all the truth, first and foremost, applies to the apostles in the sense of inspiration. Go back to John 14 verse 26. Let me see if we can connect this so you understand a little better. Let me pick it up in verse 25 so you see the connection there. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Connect that back to verse 12. He will guide you into all the truth. Now, what Jesus is saying is this: what I have said now, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will help you remember so that you can write down the scriptures. That's inspiration. That only applies to the apostles, not to any of us. Because Revelation is complete. After John writing the book of Revelation, all Revelation is complete. So in that sense, the inspiration part, He'll guide you into the truth part of giving the truth and helping them to understand the significance of the truth, which is basically truths about Jesus. That's complete. But now, not only the inspiration, then comes the illumination. That's where the lights go on. To understand the significance of what is written, that applies to all of us. You remember when we went through the series on the Holy Spirit, talked about inspiration as well as illumination. That's the Holy Spirit's work in every believer's heart. As they read the text, He helps them understand the significance of the text to their lives. Not just the meaning. Even an unbeliever can read the text and understand the meaning, but they cannot understand the significance of it to their lives. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes to minister. He will guide you into all the truth. Then notice, He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. And what is yet to come is not just prophetic events, like for example the Apostle John, to whom the statement was given, one of whom to whom the statement was given, as well as Peter as an example. They were giving a lot of prophetic passages, like the whole entire book of Revelation, what is yet to come, 2 Peter 2, what is yet to come. and so forth. But here, I think what Jesus is also including is what is yet to come in the sense of after Jesus' death and resurrection, what is yet to come also addresses the church being born, the significance of his resurrection, the significance of the church's task till he comes and so forth. So there's a lot of things that is covered in that statement of what is yet to come, which now we have as a body of truth. And notice, it's interesting how Jesus connects the unity between the triune God. He will not speak on his own, meaning the Holy Spirit will not act independent. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you or disclose, reveal it to you, proclaim it to you. That word really means tell, proclaim. He will proclaim to you what is yet to come. So again, where does he receive it from? Verses 14 and 15 explain that to us. But before that he says, he will glorify me. I'll talk about that in a minute. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit receives from Christ what he reveals to the apostles and by extension to us. And verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. Again, equality between the Father and the Son. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That's the equality between the Spirit and the Son. So you have the triune God involved in giving us the truth as well as helping us understand the truth. And the primary focus of the truth is revelation about Jesus Christ. Because he's the Spirit of truth, according to verse 13, which means Spirit who exposes the truth, reveals the truth, source of truth. And who is the truth? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And if the Spirit's task is to reveal from Jesus, about Jesus to us, so when we open the text, the focus is we'll understand more and more about Jesus Christ. And more we understand about Jesus Christ, and more we understand about what he's called us to do, that's how we glorify him. The focus of all revelation is to glorify me, Jesus says. He will glorify me. The object of revelation, as well as the subject of revelation, is Jesus Christ and his glory. It is through us Jesus gets glorified. So when the Holy Spirit ministers inside the believer's heart, it is not just so that we are filled with knowledge. We do need knowledge. The mind has to be informed. But the mind is informed so that the emotions are stirred up and the will is activated to obey the revelation we receive. And that's how Jesus Christ is glorified. That's what the purpose of revelation is. That's the main focus of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul reminds us, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, this entire book of the Bible is foolishness. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning, totally indifferent to the Bible. You don't care about what's in here. It's not even stirring any emotions to you. You're just thinking in your mind, when will the clock run over? I need to get back. I'm here just to have just here. You know why you're in that state? Because you don't belong to God. You don't have the Holy Spirit work inside of you. 1 Corinthians 2. We pick it up from verse 10, page 1771 in the Church Bible. 1771. Let me wait till you turn there, because I think this is a very important portion of Scripture. Paul talks about the wisdom of this world and why they did not understand about the reality of Christ, his glory, and that's why they crucified him. But then verse 10, he says, these are the things God has revealed to us, meaning believers, by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Meaning the truths about God can only be revealed by the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. What Paul is saying is this, look, we understand the significance of these words, and these words that we speak, it's because they come from the Holy Spirit. But, contrast, verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Meaning, those who don't have the Holy Spirit, those who are truly not Christians, well, they can understand. The point is not that they cannot understand, but they cannot accept. To them, it's foolishness. The reason they understand, the reason I say they understand is they persecute you. That's because they understand the message. But they don't accept its significance to their lives. They say, this makes no sense to me. Either it's foolishness, someone dying on the cross for everyone's sins, that's foolishness, or it lacks wisdom. Makes no sense. It's shameful. Or when the conviction comes, they suppress it and they retaliate. It's fool. This whole thing is a bunch of foolishness, makes no sense. But for those who have the Spirit of God, when the Bible is opened, even in their weakest sinful moment, there's something that tugs their heart that this is the Word of God. And where is that coming from? Spirit of God doing that work. Spirit of God doing that work. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, he says. We have the mind of Christ because the Spirit of God, who knows the mind of God, reveals the mind of God to us. And that's how we understand the mind of Christ. We know who he is. We know what he has done. And we know what he wants us to do. Yes, that's a progressive understanding. But we understand the basics and we keep growing in that knowledge. And that comes as the continuing work of the Holy Spirit who illuminates our minds. Who keeps telling us. And the more we yield to him, the more we're going to understand and submit. The less we submit, the less understanding we have. That is why people sometimes can be a Christian for many years and still their growth is so limited. It's because they fill their lives with a lot of junk. They've not responded to the truth that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them. And in a way, it's a disciplining of God that limits their effectiveness. Because why would God need to keep revealing more and more when we hardly do much with what has been revealed? That is a practical truth. We cannot just bypass. But then when we live like that, what we need to understand is we fail to glorify Jesus. Look at verse 14. Go back to John 16, verse 14. The purpose of the Spirit is to glorify Christ, and he does that through us. By exposing us to the truth and calling us to submit to the truth. When we don't submit to the truth, that knowledge is useless. You can go to a doctor and a doctor can reveal all the things that are wrong in your body and prescribe medication. So now you have the knowledge of what is wrong with you. But if you don't take that medication, that knowledge really, in a practical sense, is useless. You cannot be healed. The purpose of going to the doctor is to be healed. But also there's a human, our individual responsibility. We must take the medication. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, helps us understand. But we must do our part. Be willing to submit to the truth, willing to learn, willing to apply ourselves to understanding, and then obeying. Because the ultimate purpose is to glorify Christ. To glorify Christ. That is the focus of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to make us more and more like Christ. How do we glorify Christ? By becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ means walking the way he walked. Walking the way he wants us to walk. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And it's actually revealed not here, but elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, page 1795. 1795. I want to read two verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3 is set in the context of the old covenant, the law, talking about Moses giving the law and all that. Even though it had glory, it did not have the power to save us from sin. It did not give us the freedom to walk in God's way. But when you come to believe in Christ, there's freedom. There's freedom from bondage to sin. The power has been broken. The penalty has been taken care of. So we can, with freedom, with the liberty of the Spirit, walk in obedience. And the purpose is for this. Let me read verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory, are being, present tense, continuously being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Notice who is changing us, who is transforming us into His image. That's Christ's image in the immediate context. Who is doing the transforming work in us? That's the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit does that work? According to John 14, by continually guiding us in the truth, helping us to be exposed to more and more understanding of the truth, so that we can more and more walk in obedience, and thus we become more and more like Christ, and thus Christ is glorified. Not some kind of a mystical thing. Simple, straightforward truth. God's goal in saving us is to make us like His Son. And in order to be made like His Son, we need to understand more about the Son, more about what the Son expects from us. And as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us more and more, and more and more we depend on Him for obedience, more and more, it's inevitable. You're going to become like the Son. It's like staying in the sun for long hours, your skin color is going to change. It's inevitable. You will get a tan. And some of us are born with a nice tan, but rest of you folks, you know, you really got to work at it, but that's all right. It's inevitable. In the same way, it's inevitable when you expose yourself to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, and keep yielding, you will become like Christ. Oh, I know when we see ourselves, we're far from that. I understand that. But remember, it's a progressive thing, being revealed. So the question comes down to us, are we becoming more like Christ? That's the question we need to ask constantly. Are our decisions reflecting Christ-like conformity? It's very important. He will glorify me. And this hits all areas. All areas. Either Christ is glorified, or we are glorified. Or we seek our glory. Both cannot coexist. It extends in all spheres. Take as an example, churches. Churches fail to remember that churches exist to glorify Christ, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. To Him be the glory, Father, through Christ. And the Holy Spirit's task is to promote Christ. When you go to a church where you hear more about the Holy Spirit than Christ, you know that's in violation with this. What can the Holy Spirit do for me? It's not the right question. How can the Holy Spirit promote Christ through me? It's very important. Believers ought to understand. Church is the pillar and ground of truth, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15. If the church, which is expected to shine the light of God to an unbelieving world, as well as help believers glorify Christ, and if the church itself fundamentally is not glorifying Christ, then there's a deep problem there. And I'm not talking about just the charismatic movement that completely dishonors Christ. I mean, it's, you know, even little scenes that you see on TV and so forth, or you hear, how can Bible-believing believers sit where the Holy Spirit is virtually abused? How? Sitting is endorsing. Remember that. You can have all the good motives in your heart. Sitting is endorsing. Sometimes we can convince ourselves, well, I'm not participating, as if that makes it better. Why are you not participating? Because you know it's wrong. Then why are you even sitting? It's very important. And it's not just the charismatic movement. It's anywhere where the gospel is not clearly proclaimed, anywhere where sin is tolerated. Repentance is pretty much gone out the window these days. Just believe, just believe. Believe in what? Well, believe Jesus died for you. Even demons believe Jesus died. Demons don't turn. He will glorify me. In the churches, He will glorify me. In our families, He will glorify me. In our careers, He will glorify me. Everywhere our decisions, in our workplaces, who's being promoted? Jesus or self? In our homes, who's being promoted? Jesus or self? Every aspect, Jesus must be promoted. If Jesus is not promoted, I'll guarantee you, that's not the Holy Spirit's work. Because here, Jesus definitively says, He will glorify me. That's the intent. Now we can quench the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit. That's why there are commands, don't quench, don't grieve. Test all things. Hold to that which is good. When there's truth, hold to it. When there's no truth, we have absolutely zero responsibility. In fact, it says, Ephesians 5 says, expose the deeds of darkness, and anything that does not conform to the light is darkness. Doesn't matter how nice the people are. Doesn't matter how nice their motives might be. At the end of the day, it does not conform to the truth. If it does not conform to the truth, Jesus is not glorified, and believers ought not to even touch such things. That's anathema. That's like the Korah and rebellion. During the rebellion, God said, move away. People moved away. Judgment came and consumed the 250 people the same way. You can warn them, tell them, but they persist in that. Their blood on their own. Hence, not on us. We walk away. Because He will glorify me. Because our salvation was purchased at a heavy price. Price of blood. Not ordinary blood. Blood of the Son of God. Who went through so much. So much. Just this morning. I don't know if it's today's morning daily bread or what. I get the devotionals. I was talking about Corrie ten Boom during the Nazi camp. She and her sister Betsy, at one time, they were stripped naked because the soldiers would give a shower by stripping them naked. They felt very shameful. Had a very hard time. So at that time, Corey told Betsy, remember, He was naked hanging on the cross. Because Jesus was stripped of everything. He did so much for us, so we need to be thankful. If He did so much for us, which He did, we show our thanksgiving by conforming to the truth. By not dabbling with that which is not truth. No justification for participation in the wrong things. Period. He will glorify me. But the believer at all facets of life, whether it's on the Lord's Day or from Monday through Saturday, should strive by thoughts, words, and deeds glorify Christ. And guess what? When you live like that, there will be a cost to pay. That is why I told you earlier, this passage is set in the context of persecution. When you live for the truth, when you live to glorify Christ, you will suffer. You will suffer. It is one thing to say, I don't know if ISIS were to walk into my house, put a knife to my neck or the neck of my family members, how I'll respond. We may not know. At that time, God gives the grace. How we will respond, we may not know. Rather than speculating about that, today, what are those areas where you're afraid to follow Christ because there's a cost? That's an easy test. Maybe there's things in your life that you need to let go because those are for self-glory rather than the glory of Christ. Maybe there are things in your life you're afraid to do, even though you know that's what the Holy Spirit is tugging your heart to do because that's what glorifies Christ, but you're resisting, resisting, resisting. And that by that, you're grieving Him. Then you need to stop resisting. You need to yield to Him. You will suffer. You will be persecuted. You will be hated. But the beauty is, it'll be worth it. Eternity, you'll be with Christ. And during this period, you'll have joy as well. We'll talk about that the next time we look at this subject. Because there is joy in the midst of suffering when you follow Christ. Because the fruit of the Spirit is one of the characteristics is joy, peace. It's not like all gloom and doom. Absolutely not. It's a quest of denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him. Following Him. And Him is revealed in the Scriptures. And that's the Holy Spirit's task. Illuminating us so that Christ can be glorified. So let's ask ourselves, are we becoming more like Christ? Look at the decisions in your life. Look at your lifestyle. Ask the Spirit to search your heart, to probe the motives, to peel it layer by layer. It'll be painful, but it'll be joyful in the end. Because a life surrendered to Jesus Christ is the best life. Let people mock us. Let them reject us. Let them spit on us. Let our own family despise us. Let them persecute us. But we say yes to Jesus and no to everything else. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that this is impossible in our own strength. And you want us to understand it is impossible in our own strength. That is why you've given us your Spirit. Supernatural life requires supernatural power. And you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of power, not a spirit of fear and timidity, Spirit of power, and yet Spirit of love and self-control. You are the one who exposes Jesus to us and continually reveals truths about Jesus as well as our own condition. And the reason for doing that is so that we will bow our knee to Jesus, who died for our sins, rose again, and gives everlasting life to all who are willing to turn from their sin and turn to Him. And then continually keeps transforming us into His image. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even though we make your job so difficult, almost seemingly impossible at times because we keep on resisting, keep on walking in our own ways, yet you are so tender, so merciful. Even in your disciplining, there is so much love, so much mercy. Please help us not to grieve you. Help us to be open to studying the Word with diligence, with the desire to know more about Christ, and ultimately to obey so that Jesus will be glorified. It's all about you, Jesus. Help us to exhibit that lifestyle constantly. In your name we pray. Amen.